back to the lesson that was read before, Mark chapter 10. Some people brought children to Jesus for him to touch them, but the disciples scolded those people. When Jesus noticed it, he became angry and said to his disciples, "Commit the children to come to me. Do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Remember this: whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on each of them, and blessed them. We call this the year of the child, but it had little effect, because the world still exploits, misuses, misleads, misguides, and even kills little children. It was bound to fail because it was based upon a humanistic philosophy, which at best can only provide a temporary earthly care, based upon a philosophy that does not permit little children to come to Jesus Christ. In fact, it hinders them. To me, there is no more sad picture that can so pull at the heartstrings than that of a little child in the midst of the devastation of a war, or in the suffering of a famine, or some other life from the Islamic standing there, having lost parents and everything, and crying, not knowing what it's all about, nor able to help itself. And we often wonder who in the world is answering the cry of that little child. Now, just how much value does our world place upon itself? Well, we know that Jesus, our Lord, listens to the cries of little children. We know that he places a high value upon each of them. Oftentimes, frequently in the Gospels, we see how our Lord paid attention to little children. They knew above all how much they needed him. Any humanistic philosophy, no matter how it's guided by an altruistic love, with all good intentions, cannot answer the deepest concern of a child, a concern that the child itself does not even know. And it certainly is powerless against the ravages of all the evils that plague our world, and especially we see it hitting little children. The little children, though, as we say in our baptism, they're seeming innocent, are not. They're not guilty of acts of things like you and I, of course. But sadly, and with the goddess, we're not true. They are born with the ravages of death and the cancerous, leprous corruption that is destroying them from the moment of conception, even in the womb. They don't stand a chance unless they are brought to Jesus Christ. We will not begin to see the value of one little child, even, until we see the value that God places upon such a child and all of them by the blood of the Son and the cross, because Jesus died for them as well as for you and me. And how his heart must have cried as he cried over all the human race, but especially how his heart must have been touched by the cries of little children. He died for them that they could be delivered, that they could have forgiveness of sins, that they could be set free from the ravaging of hell, that they could live with God, that they could be heirs of his blessing. They now touch, receive, and express of the love and this high value that he places upon even a single child. And he urges us to bring children to him. When he holds them up as the example par excellence of members of his kingdom. Notice he does not hold a theologian. In fact, he said the least of these are far above the greatest theologian of all, John the Baptist. Of such is the kingdom of God. And then even more to the point, he says, and you have better listen. And if you don't listen, you're never going to have a viable ministry to little children. Unless you become like a little child. will never enter into the kingdom of God. The value of a single child to God, God would move heaven and earth to get to one child. And of course, he did this, even more so than we can ever describe or understand, when it's that Mount Calvary he gave his life. And he urges us to bring the children to him, that they could have his blessing, the gift of eternal life. Well, we know this, don't we? But also, children are valuable to him because they can be tremendous ministers of the gospel, even in their childhood. In fact, I think, and how many of you can witness to this, all of you can, to a degree, they are really our best missionaries. Remember in the book of Kings in the Old Testament, how a little girl urged her master, the army, the commander of the armies of Syria, to go to Israel to be a man of God, and Yahweh could save him from the killing disease of leprosy. And he went, and he was healed. I ask you here, who had the greater gift? That little child, or the prophet, who was instrumental in the name of Yahweh, of administering the gift of healing? That child did not know it, but perhaps it had to save an entire nation from destruction. One child, living in slavery, having lost their home, and yet God did not forget her. And how are you? Or another example from the New Testament, that little boy, he went on the picnic with five loaves of bread, little, maybe five little buns, and two small fish. How he became a co-worker with Jesus between 5,000 people. God is very conscious of the power of his spirit. He cannot only deliver a child from the ravages of sin and death, because the Son of God gave his life on the cross and rose from the dead. But also, he's very conscious, far more than you and I, and he wanted to do this way, of how that child, no matter what age, even a small infant, can be of service in his kingdom here on earth. We belittle that ministry when we overlook it and go beyond it, or ignore it. We also see how valuable a child is to God when we know how much he wants the new age heaven to be populated with little kids. How the angels are rejoicing before God now in heaven. And we realize how God, how our Lord warns us never to offend these little ones, so that they can be before him. And this theme that God places upon every single child, the value of his love, through the blood of the cross, begins at the very conception in the mother's womb. Where we have God speaking to Jeremiah, for example. Before I formed you in the womb, yea, even while I was forming you in the womb, I chose you, and before you came forth from the womb, I set you aside for a holy purpose. How precious to God the Spirit was the child John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth. And we may not even speak of how precious to God the Father was the child Jesus in the womb of the Virgin. Every child in the womb, even from conception, from birth, a year old, or not, is precious to God. But we're not about to realize how valuable life is until we see, of course, the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for you and me, and how we have been delivered, and having been delivered, how he wants his son and parent to touch little children, that they might not be hindered, but instead be blessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ for his blessings in life. What is our ministry in relation to the little children? Are we offending them? As I said before, do we overlook them? Having a correct theology about original sin and the efficacy of baptism, having a correct knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can work faith in a little child, despite the fact that they cannot react intelligently to it like you and I can, but that faith is there by the power of God. Having that correct knowledge, do we give them that gift in baptism that is instrumental in giving it to them, and then we forget that? and do not look upon them again until they get to be a confirmation age, or some other faith, the age of reason, and then we begin to instruct them, then all the while they're crying out for the milk of the Word of God. Do we overlook the home as being the most vital and important place to teach to their children? The very moment they are brought to God in baptism, to help the parents, the mothers, the fathers, to continue day by day to hold out in every sense of form, yes, but the Word of God. Because that child yearns for the Word of God, even though it cannot yet speak or respond, or even think about it like you and I do. God still, through the Word, from the womb of that mother, the moment he comes in baptism, can speak to that child and comfort and encourage. But we overlook it, don't we? Or at least we are tempted to, because we're so busy with other categories of the human race and of our congregation. What about church growth program, evangelism? Is it geared also for little children? I mean, children who are 4, 5, and 6 years old, not just teenagers. Christians, we have a tremendous challenge to minister to little children. And just think, you might be instrumental with God to raise a child in your ministry or even in your home who could save a nation. But at least, you could say to others, I know someone who can help you. Jesus. As we go to the Lord's Supper this morning, let us come with repentance to this area that we have been addressing ourselves, and how we have offended little children, perhaps, how we have overlooked them, neglected them, failed to realize how precious they are to God. And then as we open our hearts to God in repentance and in faith receive the touch of his forgiveness, and he does forgive us, encouraging us, comforting us, because he died for you and me too. Let us ask for a faith that will receive the kingdom of God like a little child. And then in that faith, unashamedly, wide open, innocent, go out and minister the gospel to all people and also to little children. In Jesus' name, may this be. Amen.